Blog Talk Radio.
What's your number? Where are you from?
268-192, Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. Nice guitar. What's your number? Where are you from?
268-192, Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. Nice guitar. What are you going to do now that you're out?
I'm going to do the Apollo in New York.
You'll be back.
Hey, yo, you. You would have just flipped on this CD player. I just want to inform you that if you got somebody good, you hold on to them.
Give this place 10 years of your life. I don't want to ever see you here again. And don't you even look back.
Life you live
must be nice.
Having someone who's slow to take and quick to give
must be nice.
Having someone who sticks around when the rough times get thick.
Someone who smiles bright enough to make
projects feel like a machine. Having someone who loves you despite your faults
must be nice.
Having someone who talks the talk, but also walks the walk.
Must be nice.
Having someone who understands that a work has feelings too. Someone who loves you for sure. You just remember to stop or let them go.
Even when your hurts and days are beyond me, you'll be by your side still.
Someone you can come home to from a long day work. Having someone you don't have to show, they know exactly where it hurts. Having someone who trusts you despite what they've heard.
Someone as mighty as a lion,
but still as gentle as a bluebird.
Having someone you don't have to tell, you don't want to be lost. Having someone you can roll with until God calls a home. Having someone who understands that a book has feelings too. Someone who loves you for sure. You never let them go. Cause
all
number, where you from?
268-192, Toledo, Ohio.
You are tuned in to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio, and you're listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayana Mohammed.
How y'all doing?
Tonight, you said hey, say hey, Ayana.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hopefully they're doing great. We have a lot of callers that have already started calling in. Tonight, we're going to be discussing women who date or marry men in prison. Yep, it happens, y'all. And we have a special guest on the phone tonight. Say hello to the people.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We have invited, do you want to say your name or you want me to say it?
My name is Nakomi Gillum.
Hi, Nakomi. We have invited Nakomi in on this discussion tonight because Nakomi is actually living this situation that we're going to be discussing tonight. Ayana.
Yes, ma'am.
Women who date and marry men in prison.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest. Like, okay, when you first said we were going to do this topic, I was like, this ain't going to be, it can't be that many people that do this, right? But then, you know, I took to the internet and I found that this is really, it's a lot of women that date and marry men in jail. Like,
absolutely.
Whether they met them when they were there, or they've been knowing them and they just stick with them and ride this time out with them. I mean, I was pretty shocked. Some of the things I found online.
It really is not an uncommon practice. It really happens
apparently
more than
not.
We think that it happens.
Yeah.
Like it really and truly happens.
Because
We found prison pen pal website.
Right.
There's Instagram and other social media sites. Like
hashtags. I found a hashtag on Instagram and I was amazed by the number. It was like over 100,000 times this has been hashtagged. And I think it was hashtag prison wife, or I was like, oh, okay, they real about this. Yeah.
They're real.
So, yeah, prison love is a hashtag that's popular, and it's like 13,000 posts in relationship to prison love. And, I mean, hey, you got to find you. It's somebody for everybody. They really mean that.
It's true. Like, I don't know what to say. I was like, when I thought about it, somebody actually brought it to me, and it was just in general conversation that we were talking, and they were saying, you know, well, my ex, he's locked up, and, you know, I still talk to him on the phone. And I'm like, how do you feel about that? I mean, and she was like, well, he got locked up because he got, you know, caught driving with suspended license, and he kept getting caught and kept getting caught. So, you know, I still talk to him. I take money down there, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, oh, okay. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you're going to ride this out. And why wouldn't you? It's not like he got locked up for some craziness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have my license suspended. I didn't know that they give you, like, real time. So I'm not going to ever do it again if my license is suspended.
I mean, because
they give you real
time
for that.
Apparently, first of all, we didn't. Mine was suspended one time, too, and I just refused to let that police officer take me to jail. So that's a whole other story. But
never going to do that again. But, Nakomi.
Ever.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, tell us a little bit about your story. Like, our phone lines, like, Ayana, I'm anxious to hear Nakomi's story and some of the stories that I'm looking at our phone lines, and they're like, blowing up. Chime in, Nakomi. What you got?
Tell us your story. I want to know your story.
I've been married for 2 years. I met my husband 3.5 years ago through a mutual friend.
Okay.
So I meet my husband. I'm not going to give you the long drop, but I'm going to give you the short. So long story short, my husband gets shot. So my husband got shot, and that's what kind of really drew us together.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a relationship and he was in a relationship. He had his kid's mother that he's been with for 11 years, and I had my significant other that I've been with for 3 years. So, you know, but for some odd reason, we just kicked it, and I would support him and help him through his situation. So the more we hung out, the more we just connected. And he was having issues, and I was having issues with my relationship, so it kind of opened the door for us to round feelings. And the crazy thing is that I wasn't even attracted to my husband. I didn't like him. Like, when he tried to even approach me, I was like, no, I have a man. I was like, ew. So the fact that
she said ew.
My love.
Yeah, she said ew. I heard it, ew. Like,
So the fact that my love for him drew from genuine feelings, from nothing, I knew that it was just something different. So my husband got shot. Someone shot him, but they found a gun in his car. So long story short, he's doing time for a gun.
For a gun charge.
So we were already together.
Okay.
We were already planning. Like, he left his kid's mother of 11 years for me. He told me he wanted just to be with me, blah, blah, blah. Like, woo. All that happened.
I mean, it seemed real. But it seems really, really like a normal. That seems like a normal.
Like a normal relationship.
It seems like a normal. Like, when I first met the dude, I was like, I'm not really feeling him. You know what I'm saying? So that seems real normal. But, like, when did
everything
happen, like?
And I still decided to hold him down. And I got so much backlash. It's not even funny. But
that was
getting
ready to be my question.
Yes.
How does your family feel about, like, and then you, did you marry him while he was locked up, or did you marry him before he got locked up? Did you know he was going to jail, and then y'all went and got married? Like, how did y'all end up married?
Yeah,
I married him.
You married him while he was in jail.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. When you find out, oh, my God, he's going to go to jail, he's going to do time, at that moment, did you think to yourself, it's no way I'm going to lose this man over him doing time? Or did you look at it like the amount of time that he's going to get? Do I stay? Do I just, like, live my life until he comes home? Like, how did you make that decision?
I know. I ask myself that all the time.
To me, that had to be a conversation with yourself. Like, you had to, sitting in the courtroom, and they tell you how much time he's going to get, and you're sitting there like, what do I do? Like, what did you say to yourself in that moment?
So many things. And so many things, and the crazy thing is, too, because I'm like, you've been with another woman. Like, why? And I felt like if you didn't get locked up, I'm not going to say that my husband wouldn't have decided to be with me, you know, but that surely did push him and motivate him, because his kid's mother wasn't doing what she was supposed to do, and that's how I was able to even come into the picture. You know, but that was still something in the back of my mind. But I guess because even outside of that situation, I just knew that my husband was the one. Like, so I just was like, do you want to do it? Are you going to do it? Like, I really just had to talk and weigh my pros and cons. And
okay.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Man,
I can't even imagine, like, sitting there like, wait a minute. Like, it's just hypothetical. You, like, you seeing somebody,
you really,
know, everything is good.
If you really know me or see me, people be like, Nakomi, look at you. Look at what you have going for yourself. Look at this. Look at that. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Like, you could have any man. I said exactly my point. I could have anything that I want. So if I choose as a woman and being in relationships, and, you know, just knowing, obviously, it's something there, something that's making me.
I have to be honest.
Right.
Like, I had no idea to look at you and to be around you. I had no idea. Not to say that it's a bad thing. It's just when it came, when this idea came to me, like I said, in general conversation, I was thinking to myself, I'm married. And my husband better not go to jail. That's what I was thinking. My husband better not go to jail. And they slapped him with a whole bunch of years. He going to be mad as hell.
But you know what?
That's what I was just thinking.
Person,
like, I wanted to hear, I have to hear these stories because he's subject to be somewhere driving and get locked up for suspended license. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything.
Oh,
I know my husband's kind of reckless. But, baby, before, I was like,
I don't know.
He gonna be mad at me. Because I know they want to talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking in my mind, he going to be trying to keep track of me because I ain't sitting in the house.
Okay, honestly, how can you keep track of somebody when you being kept track of? Like,
it's it have,
I mean,
Nicole, do you have that issue?
Oh, yes. Like, he's blowing my phone up right now.
Oh,
see,
my God.
And then, like, I'm too silly for that. I'm be honest. Like, I couldn't even imagine that you, like, I called you, you didn't answer my phone. I would say something real ignorant, like, well, I was going to call you back, but, you know.
Y'all are crazy. Hold on, because this, like, I'm going to start losing calls if I don't take one. So let me answer, bring somebody on the line with us. Caller with the last four of 3276. Good evening, caller. Thanks for tuning in. Are you calling in to make a comment about this topic, or are you just listening? Hello? I guess they're just
Hello,
listening.
Caller. What?
Nope, they're listening. Hello?
Okay.
Well, I'm about to come back in, too. I'm going to go to one more. Let's see. But they have caller with the last four of 3079. Good evening, caller. Are you calling in to make a comment, or are you listening tonight?
It's me, Renita Tamika. I'm sick as a dog, but I'm listening.
Okay. All righty. I'm going to put you back in queue.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to take one more because maybe we got one person on here. We got so many calls. I just want to get through a few. Hold on. Caller with the last four of 0899. Good evening, caller. How are you this evening? Are you calling to listen, or are you chiming in on this topic?
I can chime in.
Well, what you got to say about our lovely topic tonight?
Well, it was an interesting one, for one. But a couple things that I wanted to say based on what I was listening to. One thing I think that's different about her situation is that she didn't meet him in prison in Marion. She already was with him. It's probably something they either were thinking about or considering. And so he went to jail, and she married him while he was in there. A lot of times when guys are locked up, I'll even say women, it seems to be easier on them when they're married. For some reason, when it comes to, like, the leniency, they consider the family, the wife, you know, stuff that they do on the inside to try to lower their time. They consider the fact that they have a family. So a lot of times women will do that to help them, you know, get their time lowered in certain situations, depending on the crime, you know. Now, it is weird to me when people, knowing that somebody has years and years of time, and meet them while they're in jail, and then marry them. That is weird to me because I am a firm believer of prison talk, that a lot of men talk prison talk But when they get out, they don't always man up and do the things that they say they're going to do while they're in jail. They just make it real good and cushion.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a place to stay. They have a residence to come to for their
right.
PO.
Somebody put money,
you know,
money on their books.
Money on their books.
Lord have mercy. You done
all of those things.
Mouth.
But it yes. Now you go, you come home and you stay out for some time, not a few months, some time. I'm talking about a year or two. And you establish yourself, and I see those things that you painted, then, okay, we could consider that. But until then, I can't, you know, I can't do it.
People
I'm not against the.
So
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Me,
no, you're fine, baby. People still ask me that. They're like, he just prison talk, I said. But the thing about it is my husband has never been in trouble. My husband has never did time. He's never been locked up other than this. My husband never had no priors. He never had a record. My husband didn't even ever have a speeding ticket. So, therefore, it affects him a little different. He's not a habitual offender. He's not in and out of jail. So, when this happened,
they made an example out of him.
Him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it took him from his kids and him being, you know, really a father and the man that he is. He's not the type to want to even go back. And people really don't know how it's affecting him because they're not dealing with him in the type of way that I am. You know?
And
so,
see, that's why I said yours, to me, your situation is different, because it wasn't like you met him. It wasn't, you didn't meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And marry him while he was inside. You already was with him. But now one thing I'm not totally against, I'm not against the pen pals, because they get lonely in there. And some people, I've even been at church, and people have written my pastor and stated that they wanted pen pals because it's almost like a nursing home sometimes. You get in there, and your family just straight up forget you. They don't call. They don't come. And visit, and then something y'all said earlier, Ayana, you said about if Renita husband about keeping tabs, baby. Let me tell you this: they got so many tabs now. They got JPAL, JPay, where
trust me,
email.
Yes, I know my little brother.
They can Snapchat.
Yes, I didn't know. So they're on Instagram. So you brought up the pen pal, and I found an Instagram page out here that has nothing but pen pal profiles for prison.
Are them posing from their jail cell, right?
It's,
okay, this is ridiculous. Are y'all for real?
No,
yes, and they pose, but the thing is, they're not supposed to have phones. So how are y'all posting on Instagram? Posing your prison pole from inside your cell, or while you in the mess hall. Seriously.
Right. So I'm gonna read one of the ones I found, which happened to be my favorite one, but it's only my favorite because it's hilarious.
Now I'm from Travis.
To me. Yes, Travis is my favorite. I'm thinking.
I think Ayana is going to write Travis a letter because she's been talking about Travis for the last 2 weeks.
Listen. I don't think y'all understand. Travis, obviously, so first of all, he wants to introduce himself, and Travis is only 28. He's from a small city in the middle of Pennsylvania. Right now, he says that he's incarcerated on firearm charges. He says, I'm not perfect, and I've made mistakes, but learned from every one of them. Travis says he's a laid-back guy. He loves to travel and meet new people. Listen. Travis, where you traveling to on 7th Street? I don't.
Because he's cushioning it up to try to meet somebody to paint this picture for when he get out.
Well,
oh,
my Lord.
I know he's a Philadelphia 76ers fan. His favorite color is red, and he loves Chinese food. I don't understand.
I can't take it.
Even put all this together. I'm, but he does say he's not looking for nobody's money. He has his own money and his family helps him. So he's not looking for you to put no money on his books. He just wants y'all to talk and then to see where it's going to go. That's Travis's profile. Hilarious. I'm sorry.
If I find out that you done called Travis.
Listen. I understand if you find love and you get into a situation and you hold your man down. I get that. But I'm with the caller. I don't understand how I'm going to pen pal you and really try to see what type of person you can be in society, not in society. Like, I would have a hard time trying to really see if Travis really likes to travel. I don't really think he's going with me to Puerto Rico for Thanksgiving. Like, I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think so.
Look, let me tell you something. And I can understand, Nicole, let me tell you, my little brother was locked up for some years. And the stuff that he went through, like, with his baby mama and his other chick that he dealt with or whatever, whoever said, well, I think the caller said something about, you know, when they go in, people just drop them. And I found myself feeling sorry for my little brother, so I would send him money. You know, I did the JPay thing, write him emails, this, that, and the other. But I did that when I could. Like, it just seems like with a significant other or, you know, a husband or boyfriend or whatever, it's like this is something that you actually have to maintain on either a daily basis or every other day. It's like there's that level of commitment that you have to be there. My life is so busy that I don't know. Like, I pray that Mr. Graves don't ever find himself on that board. So I don't have to ever ask myself that.
No, I think that's a valid point, though. Like, you have family members that go, and I can see how time goes on, and it's like you forget. I had a brother that served time, so we would have to go see him and have to visit him, and he had a child at the time, too. So, and we would have to take the child and all that. So I do understand how, in that situation, your life outside continues on. So I guess that's why, listening to Nakomi's story, it's like her life has continued on, but there's still a part of her life that's awaiting his return. And I think that that's probably why your family's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing? Because it does appear that you're waiting on him to come home. Like, you may not be because you're moving forward with everything else, but that's how it appears. And I understand it. I mean, you know, y'all was together beforehand and you holding your man down. Everybody wants that ride or die. I get that. But I can see how people be like, oh, well, you're just waiting around for him and you're not doing anything with your life, waiting on him to come home.
And I understand what my family means when they say that. And I understand that they're just looking out for me. And it is hard, you know, and they see what it does to me and, you know, the pressure because I have to take care of my kids. I have my stepkids, you know, just everything. Like, it's just so much.
Then it's like when he comes home, society is not really set up for someone who has committed a crime and actually served time.
Right. That's what I want
to
know.
For him to find it, like, how is he going to find a job? How is he going to help take the load off of you as a man in the relationship when he has to check that box on an application and know that that's going to be hard to do.
It's a conversation that we have very, very often, very much so. So he is in he's registered to go to barber school. So he start barber school soon. He has his auto mechanic certificate. He used to work for Walmart in the auto mechanic field. So he has that. So he has things that he can fall back on as far as coming home and possibly getting his foot in the door. But it's always going to have an effect on him because he is a felon. He has a gun charge. But a gun charge isn't
a violent charge or a sex offender charge. So,
or a, you know, it's not, you know, or rape or anything really, and I'm not going to say that it's not bad, but it's not that bad. You understand what I'm saying? So
the way the world is set up right now, that's, at all. it's not bad. But it is, I think that in some cases, that's what I think what your family may mean from that perspective. Because I could imagine if my sister told me she was dating a guy in jail and she was going to get married, I'm like, but a minute ago you were talking about buying a house. So how is he going to help you with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the questions that I would like.
Stressful. Yeah. Full, man. But
I have to applaud you for even, because I, like I said, looking at you, I would have never known. Not that it's something bad, but I mean, you're a nice looking young lady, and you're real outgoing and outspoken. And I'm sure, just like everybody else, feels like, you know what? Maybe you do. You feel at times. Let me put it this way: I'm gonna be politically correct with my next question. Do you feel like you are limiting yourself? Do y'all get to have conjugal visits? Do they do that? I'm nosy. y'all get to go in there and smash.
I was gonna get to that. Yeah.
I got to it first. They let y'all get alone in the room, because depending on that, Mr. Graves go to jail.
No, you don't get none of that.
But I always thought it was
we sit down, we really are not supposed to be doing nothing, you know, but some people quick enough, you know, whatever, might get a little feel, but it's not none of that.
Wow. Interesting. That's not how they portray it on TV.
Right, on TV, they go off in the room and they make it happen.
Right, if you married, you get conjugal visits. I guess, that's different. Okay, interesting. So how often do you go visit him and take the kids? And, like, how often do you all go and see him?
Well, when I don't live in Virginia anymore, so, that's difficult. But
okay.
I would take my kids, and I would take my stepdaughters to see my husband all the time. But since I moved, he doesn't even see his daughters that often anymore. So,
interesting.
So was that a difficult decision for you to move away?
I had to go. Like, and I wasn't going to put, I tell him, I'm already making a sacrifice already, putting my life on hold and holding you down and taking on this load as the husband, the wife, the mother, and the father. So if I'm ready to go, I'm going to go. You know, and if you're not happy or you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. Either you jump on the bandwagon or you don't. Like, and that just is what it is. So, but.
So do you think when he gets out, he'll move down to where you're at?
Yeah, he's able to. He's able to leave and come here.
Okay.
Now, okay, so you said he's able to. Will he be able to right away? Will he have to do a certain amount of?
No, he can parole out here because I'm his wife. So just like there's people in there now he's doing time with that's from California or North Carolina or Wisconsin. So they'll parole out there because that's where they're from, you know. So with me and his wife where I live, he can, you know, curl out here. He just got to comply and do everything he's supposed to do.
So did y'all, so you married him while he was in jail, correct?
Right.
Correct.
Was there any type of, like,
girl, they can't
the
do it.
Like,
they
no.
Not
saying,
do
but
it.
What was the ceremony like? Like, I mean, was your
it
family
was
able to come? Was
my,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
It was my pastor that married us.
Okay.
Hello?
And that was
okay.
It.
Was
family?
Counselor. No, so she came and did counsel with us. Like, she talked to us and, you know, wanted to see how we felt about it. So we did that.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm asking because I would think, like, yeah, like you said, like, it's good to know that you got some form of counseling, because I would want to make sure that anybody that's entering into that really know what they're entering into. Like, when I was online looking, there's, like, all of these. I know I love Google, so that's where I get all my information from. It's, like, 12 tips to dating a prisoner. Like, there's scientific
ways.
They
got tips out there?
Yeah, they got tips.
Lord, the internet
is
have
you asked? I know,
like
I love
this.
It. I love it.
And it meant a lot, because my pastor did take the time out to, you know, to meet with us personally. You know, she knows me. She knows what I've been going through. And, you know, and she even told me, she was like, he's a good man. And, she just told me how she felt about it, too. And she never ever said, like, you know, I don't know if you should do this, or I don't know, you know, so...
That
kind of put me at peace. But I do battle with my own feelings, like, Nakomi, is this really what you want to do? When he only has not even two years left, and I've been already did 3 years with him. So he's really about to come
home.
Yeah,
you're on a home stretch.
I mean, you got to wrap this out at this point.
Well, hold on, y'all. I'm going to take another caller. I want to try to get through all the calls tonight. So I'm going to take another caller, and then I want to play a clip that I got from Dr. Phil, who actually had this issue on his show. So caller with the last four of 6354. Good evening, caller.
Hello?
Are you listening tonight, or are you calling to make
a
comment?
Tonight.
You're just listening? Okay, well, I'm going to put you back in queue.
Thank you.
Okay. I think I went to this caller before, but I'm going to try it again. I can only see the last four. So, 3276. Good evening, caller. Are you calling to listen, or do you want to chime in on this topic?
3276.
Yes. Are you calling
yes.
to listen, or you got a comment?
No, I'm just listening tonight.
Okay. I'll put you back in queue. Thank you for listening. Okay, so I'm going to play a little bit of this clip, because Dr. Phil has all kind of stuff going on. And when I was doing my research, people would not even imagine, like me, I was so clueless. Let me say this first. I had a kind of sort of what you would call a boyfriend, I guess, many years ago when I was a teenager. And he was out just doing all kind of crazy stuff when we were kids. Well, he ended up going to jail a month before I turned 18. And I promise you that this man has not been on the streets a good 365 days, if you put them all together collectively, since then. It's like one thing after another. It's like a repeated cycle. He's locked up now. Like, this is his life. So I'm thinking, oh, I dodged the bullet. But
yeah,
I'm going to play this clip, and we're going to get back on this call, and we're going to finish talking about this subject.
There are common characteristics among women who fall in love with people in prison. And the truth is, it's not just random. There are common characteristics among them, and I'm going to write a few of these down. And you can tell me whether you think you meet any of these criteria.
Okay.
Now, first off, these women are damaged. And when I say damaged, I mean mentally, emotionally, physically, all types of things. Do you think that would be characteristic of you.
That describes the situation completely.
Yeah. Also, they tend to approach these situations as though the love is fantasy. It's fantasy-based. They're able to do that because you haven't had to pick up his dirty socks.
Right.
You haven't had to wash his dirty underwear.
Yeah.
You haven't had to be there when he won't get a job and mm-hmm. sits on the couch mm-hmm. and you're the only one working. It's all fantasy.
Yeah.
There is this aspect that you have to admit is a Cinderella aspect of this love. In fact, you said, he saved my life. You said you were brokenhearted, and even from prison, he saved you. And you have to agree, we've talked about things that he has done, and boy, do you fit this one chapter and verse. But you rationalize the things that he's done. It's like, well, he was young. Well, he didn't mean to. Well, they were just playing catch with the cat.
I'm convincing myself
over the
that
fire,
way.
And he was
yeah.
young. And, well, you know, she was saying bad things about him. And
I agree.
And every one of those things is characteristic of you.
Yes, it is. I rationalize it so that I can, I have to rationalize it in order to continue pursuing it, because if
yeah.
I really stop and think about it, I might change my mind.
There's one more thing that's very important, and I'm going to put this outside the box. You can decide whether this fits or not, and this is hybristophilia. Now, I'm not saying this fits you, but there is a diagnosis. There is a category of women that are attracted to men that involve danger. Men that are in prison, men that commit crimes. It adds an element of that bad boy excitement.
I'm not attracted to that at all.
I hope not.
I'm not attracted to any part of the fact that he's in prison or the fact that he's a bad boy and a convicted criminal.
That's why I wrote it outside the box.
Thank you.
But it's just something that you have to think about.
Okay, Dr. Phil said.
Interesting.
It's fantasy. It's a fantasy. I don't have to worry about the things that he could be doing that I see other men out in the streets doing. I don't have to worry about him, you know, not finding a job. I don't have to worry about everything being put on me. I know exactly where he is, and I don't have to question that. I don't have to guess. What do y'all think about that?
I don't know. I think the fantasy part is true, because when you think about it, you have this mindset of when he comes out, I'm going to have this life that I want to have with this person. And that's why I was saying earlier about the struggle of men coming out of jail. So the fantasy may not come true based on what his struggles could potentially be because of his conviction.
I feel like it depends on the woman, because I'm very much so aware, and I would be realistic about this whole situation as far as him coming home. And I've let him know, like, I know it's going to take time for you to get on your feet, and I will give you that. But on the other hand, you don't have time, like, because you have a whole family that you have to provide for, and you're going to take
right.
the load off. There's no choice. And if you don't, then there's just not going to be no us, and that's just what it is. It is what it is, because I've already sacrificed enough, and you ain't the only one doing time, and I tell him that all the time. Like, you're locked up, but
That was my next question. Do you feel like you are doing, like, even though you're
yes.
out and you're able to do the things that you want to do, when you want to do them, how you want to do them, do you still
there.
Have that sense of, I'm doing time too. Like,
yeah.
I'm locked up too. See, oh my God, I'm so claustrophobic. I don't.
You know what? I can't with you. I'm not. I can't.
I'm just saying.
I'm not. Really.
I can't say that I would never, because I can say that I love my husband enough that I would try my very best. I mean, I'm pretty sure, because I can't see myself not. Like, before this show and before I got married, it would have been, somebody had asked me, I would have been like, it's not going to happen.
But I still say that I'll be honest with me, it's still going to come down to some of the things that it says on here, the tips in dating a prisoner. Why are you being convicted? Why are we here? What went wrong? You know, how long are you going to be there? Because to your point, Nicole, yes, whomever is with him is serving that time. You may not be inside locked up, but you are still in the state of not moving forward with certain aspects of your life. So you just have to look at it that way. I need to know what's your release date? How many years you got? I have a lot of questions I'd have to ask before I could truly decide that I'm about to ride this out with you. And just gonna be honest.
And see, even some of the stuff that I found, like just doing my research, a lot of places say, I mean, a lot of these, when you talk about women who date and marry men in prison, it always comes back to everybody thinking that you have low self-esteem. Like, it never, the things that Nakomi says, like, I'm not portraying it in none of the stuff on here they give, and I'm glad we had this topic going on tonight, Ayanna, because
I don't have
and,
no self esteem.
Nakomi was able to give a little insight because
I could be with anybody else that is free as I can. Yes, I have those choices,
right,
and those options. I'm choosing to, you know, I choose to.
That's what I said. They're like, they apparently,
if it's
are
not the right
not
lesson,
the whole picture.
It was a lesson in some way, so.
Oh, they have so much crazy stuff in here. She has a strong desire, like she just wants to be in a relationship. She's very ugly, and she doesn't have options. So I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm like, but that's not Nakomi.
Yeah,
like, I know her.
Right.
This is,
right.
This is,
I mean,
not her. Like, where are you getting this information,
like,
from, people?
Yeah, because you would think, like, a woman is trying to get a prison pen pal because she can't find a man somewhere else. Like,
This
is
stuff
that,
is crazy.
Is
like, I'm
true?
Reading through it, and it's crazy.
But I get that. Like, my family be on it. Like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Like, I know you're not. And because my husband is not what you would usually see me with, it really friends everybody. Like, Nicole, like, yes, but it's not about that. You got to look deeper. I'm looking more, like, y'all. So I got it all. And I get it all still. Like,
so let me ask you this, though. Let's say you come across a young lady and she is, you're in a situation that you're in right now, and she comes to you and she says, I got this guy, I've been seeing him for a while, we're in love, but he's getting ready to serve 5 years. What would your advice be to her?
To be honest, first, I would ask her, her age would most definitely depend on what my response is going to be. The situation at hand, and a lot of times this men are in and out of prison. Like, is this what he does? Has he served time before? Has he been here for the same crime he about to do time for, all that matters? But all I can do is tell you to follow your heart and go with your gut, because at the end of the day, my story is not your story, you know. Mm-hmm. And people always ask me that, what about your daughters? I mean, what I'm going to tell them, no, don't do it. I did it. But I am going to tell them, you know, make sure that that's what you truly want to do, you know, because you don't know the outcome of it. It could be great or it could be heartache, you know. And but I'm going to stand behind my daughters in any decision and choices that they make. But I will tell them, of course, I'm going to be a mother before anything else, because I get that too. Oh, you got girls and what? And my thing is, us as women, sometimes we bash other women, but you forget you're a woman and you've been in that situation. If you've held a man down in some type of form when he might not need it to be, or you stayed
there
with him when you should not have, or all of that. So don't come for me and what I'm doing with my husband, or what I shouldn't have did, or how I shouldn't have did it, because there's a lot of things you should not have done that you did
that
regarding someone. Love somebody, or when you've been in a relationship with them, you know?
Well, I have to say that I really and truly applaud what you're doing. I mean, because honestly, when you look at the amount of men that are locked up behind bars, and you look at the ratio of, you know, what you said he has a gun charge. If one of our counterparts, I'm going to say, you know, Caucasian, like just the rate that black men, the amount of time that they get for even
yep.
the smallest crimes versus everybody else, like, you know, once you sit back and really look at the whole picture, there has to be somebody that shows them that they care and they're in their corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
until this came about, like I was so like, I can't be one-minded, one-sided or whatever at sometimes. But I mean, honestly, you have to look at the big picture of every situation
mm-hmm.
and take it all in to account, because even though I felt bad for my little brother, you know what I'm saying? Like every so often I'm like, I need to write him. I need to, you know, send him some money. I need to make sure he's okay. So yeah, I applaud you. I mean, cause
it's
somebody
hard and it be real. Just say that.
Yeah, but see that. But that's the thing. Like that's why I think what hit it for me was when you said like you do time with this person, and I'm positive they don't see it that way because you're free. You know, you don't have just three hots in a cot or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
I do think it's a lot. And if I came across a young lady, no matter what her age was, 20, 30, 40, I would say, is it really something you want to do? Because the time that he's going to have to serve is the same time that you're going to serve. So you're going to have somewhere that you're going to have to go visit somebody on Sundays or Saturdays. You're going to have to take the phone calls. Now, I do find that strange for them to keep track of you, but those are things that you're going to have to do. And you have to ask yourself, is that something that I'm going to be able to do or not? Me,
no.
I'm still struggling with that. I don't really know that I don't really know that I could. I'm not saying that I wouldn't. I just don't know.
Don't let
I
her
could.
Fool you. She's going to write Travis and tell Travis. She done went back to Travis. She found
Travis.
Travis
may be my new boo. Let's not fight about that. Travis may be my new boo. Let's not do this.
Look.
Let's not do this. Don't judge
she's
me.
She's going to find Travis.
Travis.
Like, I'm looking at this, and do y'all know that there's... Did you find this thing called prison inmates online? Like, they have 1,700 men and about 40 women who are linked into
yeah.
this dating site online for
yeah. Yeah.
prison inmates. And
well, that's
like this
that's
is real
funny. But now here's what was interesting, and we didn't touch on it, but it's primarily because it's not done as often. Men do not remain with these women that get this here time
online.
Statistically, no. If a guy is dating a woman and she happens to get locked up, he tells
oh,
her
so
sorry, boo. Yeah.
Because none of anything that I came across said that it's always the woman.
Yes.
I mean, it's like I didn't read anything about
and
a man marrying
my husband that too. Like when he gets on my nerves, and like every day I want to divorce him. Seriously, every day I do. And I ask him, if the tables was turned, would you even do half of what I'm doing? Half.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and he said,
you're always talking about don't do this, don't cheat, don't da 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 da. I'm your husband, you know, God. Da, da, da. I'm like, okay. And if the tables was turned, I think in my head, would you do yes, because you're my wife? It sound good.
It sounds good.
It sounds good.
But,
yeah.
But if you think about it, if he's not able to get a conjugal visit, see, like, that's what would, I think that's why I would have a hard time. Like, I know between me and Travis, it may not work because I'm going to need to know who else is on your visitors list. I need to know who else you pen palling. Like, that would be, I would be nervous about that. Like, am I the only one? Like, yeah, I'd have problems with that.
But I'm thinking, you know what, before you even say anything about that, Nakomi, I think that that would be, if you sat around all day thinking about who's on the visiting list and who's coming down here to see me, him, and who's sending money and all that, knowing the fact that I'm your wife and I know damn well we can't do no oochie-coochie in here. Like,
right.
If you get a visit from somebody, whoop-de-doo. If she putting money in your books, that's less than what I got to put on there. Just at the end of the day,
really?
When you hit these bricks. Now, I don't know. No, I'm just saying, because I'm not in that situation. I'm just saying that what can you do other than have a conversation?
No,
like,
and
what
you
can,
know,
you, what
and
can
and
the other person do? Like, you have a commitment.
Yeah.
Y'all are married. And I do understand. I mean, girl, I'm just talking. This is internet radio. Let me go back. This is internet radio. And
right.
By a radio station, I can say what I want to say. So I may be a little unpolitical at times, but I'm not in that situation either. So I'm just throwing it out there. Like, do you?
Right.
I wouldn't be able. I don't feel like I would have. I don't know, but I don't feel like I would sit around and be stressing every day about who's going through here to see you. Just thinking, like, the times that I went to go see my little brother, like, I'm the CO, they want to pat you down, they want to dump you first.
Yes, girl.
He does. More so than me. You know.
On
what's
really going on.
He threatens, well, I'll call someone else. Okay, well, take the load off of me. That's fine.
So you feel that way?
Yeah.
You be serious. See, I was just throwing it out there, but I didn't know that, like, you really feel that way. Like, okay.
Yes.
Let them put some money on your books and make sure you call me at Thursday at 8 o'clock because with their money. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I didn't know if that's how you felt.
But
that's probably how
that,
I would be
you
feeling.
Get caught, like, I could see in the beginning you like that, but I think after years go by, you be like, look, I don't care who called him. I ain't got time for this anyway.
In the beginning, I was very much so, my mind was so much different than what it is now. Like, he's been in there 3 years, so that's a while now. So my mindset, how I started off is not how I currently am or how I know I'm going to finish it. So, you know, it's always good in the beginning.
Well, I'm glad to hear your story because that's going to determine where me and Travis go. You know,
you let me know how that works out because I already know. I want to read the letter before you press in on that little thing. But I want to tell everybody.
I may read some other ones.
I want to hear about that. I just want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. Nakomi has really opened up a lot of insight on this topic. We appreciate you calling and being a part of this show tonight, Nakomi. I want to thank all of our callers and those that are just listening. Next week, I want to let you all know that because there are so many crimes going on against our Black people, we will be discussing Black Lives Matter, really all lives that matter, but we want to focus in on these teens that are out here doing crazy things, and they're dying. So next week, I hope you all tune in and listen and chime in, call in, and give us your story on these crimes that are going on in our community. We're going to close out tonight with a word from our sponsor. Again, thank you, everybody, for calling. Talk to you next week.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard Remote Monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.